Hello, this is Debbie Bradley. Today I have Tom Pilatowski of U.S. Rare Coin Investments as our Who's Who featured person of the week. Hi, Tom. How's it going?
Good, Debbie. How are you today?
I'm fine. So tell me, how did you get started in this hobby of numismatics?
Oh, boy, that was a long time ago. When I was a little boy, I was homesick from school, and my older brother had been a coin collector, and I paid him a tremendous favor by taking a pencil eraser to cleaning all his coins to make them nice and shiny.
Oh, not good.
No, needless to say, he took it out on me when he got home from school, but that was my first exposure in coins, and later, when I was a teenager, I found an interesting dime in pocket change. It was a 1833 dime with the variety, the last three high. I was so intrigued by that dime, I brought it to a local coin shop in Garwood, New Jersey, and they offered me nearly $100 for it, and I was so intrigued by it that
Wow. Became
a profession.
Yeah, $100 for a dime, not bad.
A lot of money back in 1969, yes.
After that almost $100 dime, what caught your fancy?
What caught my fancy was how could such a little dime be that valuable, and so I bought a couple of books and I started studying about coins and went to a couple of coin shows. Nothing really serious until around 1979 when people started talking about silver and gold and I became more and more interested in it and actually opened up a small coin shop, became partners with an older fella who had a small shop actually on Highway 9 in a little town called Bayville, New Jersey. And that lasted for six or eight months, and I finally opened up my own shop on the highway, Route 88 in Bricktown, New Jersey, and ultimately another shop on Main Street in Belmar, New Jersey. And from there, it just kept on growing.
It sounds like you were hooked.
Yes. I think you could say I'm a lifer.
Well, if you could select the first coin for someone to begin a collection with, what would you recommend?
Well, a lot would depend on what that person likes and perhaps the kind of money that person was talking about buying a coin with. I've always had a weakness for gold coins and also silver dollars, so I would probably try to swing that person into either Morgan dollars or Peace dollars or even $20 gold pieces, just as a starter. But I would listen to that person, find out what does that person like. And if he really didn't know, I might suggest that he take a look through a red book. That's Yeoman's Guidebook of U.S. Coins, and try to pick out designs that appeal to him and see how or if those designs fit into what his overall plans were.
Well, isn't that the number one top bit of advice to collectors is, above all else, make sure you collect what you like, not just what might go up in value?
I think so, yes. And I think that's why education is so very important in this field. And even if starting out with a small guidebook like the Red Book, I think it's vitally important to do that before purchasing any coin.
So there are still gold and silver coins out there that we can afford, given how the metals is going through the roof right now?
Oh, I think so. Even there, on a smaller end, you've got everything ranging from $2.50 Indian gold coins from a classic sense to more modern coins that the U.S. Mint is producing, like U.S. Eagles that are a tenth of an ounce gold or a quarter of an ounce gold. I think there's something for everyone in that area.
So when you're advising someone who's new to the hobby, it sounds like the first tip would be to have a little bit of education?
I think take your time, a little education, buy a couple of books. They're probably the best investment you could make initially. Talk to a few dealers. Attend a coin show or two. Try to gain access to as much information as you can. Eventually, you'll see something that really appeals to you, and then start to pursue this hobby from that standpoint. If you, for example, like Morgan Dollars, but feel somewhat overwhelmed by the series, perhaps go into a small part of Morgan Dollars. Silver dollars that were minted in Carson City, for example, have always been very popular, having a cartwheel from the Wild West, etc.
That sounds like good advice. What about you? If the sky was the limit and you could buy one coin, someone else is going to pay for it, what would you buy?
Boy, you know, there was an auction many, many years ago. It was held by Stacks in New York, and there was a Higley copper. It was an old colonial coin. A fellow by the name of Dr. Samuel Higley from Granby, Connecticut, happened to have a copper mine on his property. And out of that copper mine, he minted his own coins, one of which was a variety that depicted a pickaxe. And that particular coin was at auction. I believe it was a Stacks auction many, many decades ago, and it had a hole in it. And the way Stacks described it in their catalog was that because the pickaxe so closely resembled that of a tomahawk, the hole might have been put on that coin by an Indian who wore it. And I never did get that coin. I missed it. I must have been sleeping or something. But it's, best of my knowledge, it's never come up for auction again. But if it ever does, you can bet I'll be an aggressive bidder for that coin.
How much would it cost?
Well, see, that's just it. It didn't sell for a lot back then, maybe $4,000 or $5,000, but I reckon it'll sell for multiples of that nowadays.
But it's something that you like, so that would be the one to take.
I think if I were to choose a second favorite coin, it would probably be in the realm of gold. I've always liked the 1907 St. Gaudens High Relief, and I think that probably I would choose one of those in the higher states of preservation, perhaps MS-66 or MS-67. And I think between those two coins, I will have found my favorites.
Good choices. Well, you know what they say, behind every successful person, there's someone in the shadows. So tell us about someone who's had a significant impact on your professional success.
Well, there's many, but perhaps my wife is at the top of the list with that. My wife, of course, is not only my partner in life, but also in my business as well. She's the IT department, the bookkeeping department, the billing department, and she keeps me in line quite often. If I were to go further back in time, I would say probably who's still my mentor now. There's a fellow in New York. I can give you his initials, or RK. He has been a mentor of mine for many, many years, and unfortunately I can't give you his name. I don't think it's appropriate at this time, but I think those in the business will know who I'm talking about, and he's become very close with me, and a confidant, a friend, and a mentor in this business.
He'll know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
What would you say is the best business decision you've ever made?
Probably the best business decision I made. Long ago, I thought of myself as a pretty good numismatist and a good salesman, but I was never able to quite click with the business part of the coin industry. And I interviewed with Paul Mitchell at Heritage in Dallas. And I flew to Dallas, and I met with Paul, and I met with Steve Ivey, and ultimately they gave me a job. And in fact, I was top retail guy in their company for the most part while I was there. And I learned a lot from those guys. There's a reason why they're the biggest in the business, and I'm eternally grateful for the foundation that they gave me during my employ for them.
That's a nice compliment.
Thank you.
Okay, one last thing.
Okay.
Tell us something most people don't know about you.
Oh, boy. You know, a lot of people think that I'm just a coin dealer. I don't think they realize how much of a coin collector that I am. Whether it's hard times tokens, there's one that's got a picture of President Jackson popping out of a treasure chest with a sword in one hand and a bag of money in the other, and it's labeled "I take the responsibility," to gem proof $20 gold pieces, and everything in between. I am the consummate coin collector, and it's very hard sometimes to sell these things. I wish I could keep them, but it's not possible. So, but I do, as a dealer, get at least the chance to be exposed to so many different types of coins, and again, ranging from 90% silver coins to some of the finest known pieces, 1859 O double eagles that weren't even in the book, and so on and so forth. It's really a dream come true to be a collector and be in this business at the same time.
You obviously enjoy your work.
Oh, absolutely. It's the best.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for sharing with us today. And hopefully we'll be talking to you some other time about maybe some other things in the news.
Thank you so much, Debbie. It's been a real pleasure.
You're welcome.